So I'm going to talk about, again, some non-equilibrium situation, like the previous talk. So I'm going to talk about bosonization and procedure, and look at some subtleties that arise and how we handle those to define a consistent formalism. So this is work done in collaboration with Carlos Bolek, who's also in the audience and actually will be presenting the part two in the series of two papers that were recently published, where we will apply this newly developed consistent bosonization, debosonization formalism to the Kondo problem. So let's look at a tunnel junction, simple tunneling junction, where there is a barrier separating left and right electrodes, and there is a voltage that is applied, and the voltage drop is happening at the barrier, and obviously this is irreversible because of the voltage drop, and one can model it using tunneling Hamiltonian. So then one can actually use this standard unfolding that one does to write this problem as in terms of chiral fermions. So this is something that is very standard for boundary problems, or quantum impurity problems or boundary problems, where you have here the problem is that you just have a tunnel junction, so it's like point contact, and you can unfold the fermions to get this chiral fermions, which then only at zero, point zero, you have this term where you can go from one chiral fermion. So this L is the lead index, so where the chiral fermion for the left lead can go to the chiral fermion for the right lead, this change can happen only at zero. Okay, and so so you can write this kind of problem with chiral fermions, and I mean these kinds of Hamiltonians might arise also naturally in certain problems, in quantum Hall states or topological states. And what we are doing here is we are looking at this tunnel junction problem and choosing the dispersion to be linear. And so basically, if the dispersion is linear and you have this tunneling, we expect that the bosonization technology should be exact, because you are having this linear dispersion, and then you're going to do the bosonization. Okay, and this problem is 1D, this mapping that we get then can be used, various techniques are used, and this is a very standard mapping that is done. And so then one can use the bosonization formula, and here in the audience probably everyone is very familiar with bosonization and its history, and like we will be particularly looking at the constructive bosonization formalism by Haldane, and who also coined this term Luttinger liquid, and this is probably most of you recognize from Swellick. She's showing this fermions going to bosons. It's like some kind of magic, because it makes alchemy, that makes problems tractable, the ones that were not possible to solve before. And so one goes from, one does this transformation from fermions to bosons, which is called as bosonization. And then in this kinds of problems, where we were looking at this chiral fermions that are coupled at the point zero, this is a very standard change of basis that one does. So instead of the spin up and spin down and this lead index, which is left and right lead, these are the fermions, then when you go to the bosons, you change the basis to what are called as the physical sectors. So this is phi C, phi S, phi lead, and phi spin lead, or this is sometimes called as flavor. We'll just call it lead, because in our case, it's definitely just the lead index. And you can change this basis like this, and it's kind of very easy to see. So the charge case, you're just summing up all the phis on up and down and left lead and right lead, and spin, you're taking up and subtracting the down, and so on. And then, so this is a very physical change of basis. And then you can once you've done that, then the standard thing is for quite a few problems, what you do then is to debosonize. So to bosonizing, debosonizing, or what is also called as the refermionization, and which is kind of using this in inverse. And then now here you have these new fermions, but these are defined in these sectors, the charge spin lead and the spin lead sector. Okay, and so now the question we are interested in is what is the non-equilibrium transport in this junction? And so if you calculate the current, since this is a non-interacting problem, so we are considering Fermi liquid leads and this tunneling, so it's a straightforward problem that you can solve directly because just using some Keldysh formalism. And what you find is that if you do that, you get a current that you can calculate it for finite t, and just it's enough to just look at the t going to zero expression for simplicity. And what you find is the result looks like this. And this is the standard exact result that you get with a direct calculation. And then now you can ask the question, what happens if I actually use this bosonization technology that I was I have set up, and so do the bosonization, change the phases, refermionize, and now calculate the current in the new fermions. So in that case, what you find is that the current has expression that looks like this. So you can clearly see that, so for, again for t going to zero, and you can see that the expressions are not the same. So in particular, like you, what you have is that this change from t, to make it look similar, what we do is write this in terms of t prime, where t prime is twice t. So this looks kind of similar. Of course, you have to remember this is twice t. And then what you have is an extra factor of 1 by 4 and an additional term like this. And so you find that the results are qualitatively different. And just to make it easy to understand, if you look at the plot, and here I don't know how visible is this, but this is t, and it's the central point here is t equal to 1, and this is t, and here I'm plotting 1 over t. So 1 over t 0 is basically t infinity. So you find that the direct result, which is this curve here, is symmetric and is as expected. I mean, on physical grounds, you expect that for t equal to infinity, the current should go down to zero, okay? Because you'll just block, you'll form some resonance, or like you can think in terms of bonding, antibonding states, and you will just block the current. So when t is large, then you expect that this should go to zero. So this is the direct result, is clearly a physical result as what we one would expect. But then the result that we get from using bosonization does not match this at all, and there's a big qualitative difference. And this was just using the standard conventional wisdom that has been used previously for many for decades now, and using the standard bosonization methodology.
That's a very quick question.
Yeah.
It seems like the curves do match exactly at small t, and I'm wondering if there's some...
And actually, that's right. So that's actually the thing that we are going to use to figure out what's going on, and that's a good observation, and it's an important observation that you do find that they match at the lowest order, okay? And that's something you can also see from the expressions that you expect that it's going to match at the lowest order. So we'll see how that helps us actually in setting up things. So basically, this is the this mismatch is contradicting our conventional wisdom, which of like, you know, decades, and where one uses this bosonization debosonization program. And and so what is the resolution of this paradox? And clearly, to resolve this paradox, one has to first get to the heart of the paradox, because it's right now just two different expressions. They look different, and but like, you know, it's not yet clear what's going on, what is really the paradox here. And to get to the heart of the paradox, what one really needs is some diagnostic tool that will help us figuring out why are these results different and what really is the paradox here, where you were expecting the visualization result to be giving exact result. And so as Mike pointed out, these results do coincide for order t-square to this order. And in fact, this observation, based on that, gave us the idea as to what could be a possible diagnostic tool for figuring out what is going on here. And so we decided to look at the problem perturbatively to understand what's going on. And what you can do is basically use the transformation, so bosonization and this refermionization, this whole BdB procedure, bosonization and debosonization procedure, and establish a one-to-one correspondence between this vertexes of old and new fermions. So with the original fermions, basically you have this four processes. So you go from, you don't change spin, so this is spin stays the same in this simple junction, so up stays up, you go from right to left, and with the down and other way around. So these are the four possible vertexes that you have. And then you can figure out, just by using the BdB transformation, what is it in terms of the new fermions. And what you find is it looks like this. So you see that now all you have here in terms of the new fermions is the lead index and the spin lead index. So here you had four possible fermions, fermionic fields, and here you have only two. But even if the there's a smaller set of internal labels, but on the other hand, you have this anomalous bilinears that are possible here, that were not possible here, okay, in the new fermions. So that kind of works out. And that's how it works out. And so now what you can do is, you can say that I know how to do perturbation. So I'm just going to consider how to dress a vertex within the standard Feynman-Dyson perturbation theory. So I'm going to take this left to, you can do this for all four of those, but let's, for example, consider electron going from left to right, spin up electron, and you're going to dress this vertex. Okay, and so the way you would do this is standard, like you can set it up perturbatively. And so this is the first term, and then you go from left to right, right to left to right. So this is the next order process that you have for dressing this. And then you can say that, so this thing now I'm going to translate using my dictionary from here and see what is it that I'm going to get. So now this left to right was L to SL, this particular diagram from my dictionary. And now I'm going to translate each of this diagram. So I take this diagram, I translate, this is what I get. This one, I translate again, and this is exactly what I get to this lowest order. Okay. And so now, you are in this, instead of, so here this was kind of just taking the dictionary and translating. But now what you say is, what happens if you are actually speaking in the new language? Okay, so once you have done the bosonization and debosonization and you are in this new fermions language and you are doing your calculation, what you have is, you don't really know what was the situation in the original fermions, and you're speaking the new language, and so you have this vertex and you dress it, and then you start dressing this, you find that actually you have this, so this is exactly the same as what we got from the translation of the original fermions. But then when you're speaking in the new language, it's, you are finding that there are these new processes that are coming up here, which are extra as compared to what you are getting from the translation. Okay, and so these are the new processes that are extra. And so now you want to understand what do these new processes mean in your original language. So you want to now basically, essentially, try to do a back translation to understand what these new fermions mean in your language, original fermion language. And so now, so this is what you had in the original fermions when you do this. But now when you did the back translation, you find that these are, there are these processes that you get which are actually, you cannot even write those because it's having, you are forced to, in this back translation, write terms which are like here the spin is changing and here you have to even change the lead index. And so basically, you cannot really, in this back translation exercise, you cannot, you find that you cannot do that in terms of any spin conserving propagators, which are what you should be using in the original language. Okay, and so basically these are not conserving the spin, and even this process is not even conserving the lead, or if you want to call it flavor index. And so this, by this diagrammatic analysis, we find that basically what you are having is the reason the junction problem you were finding that with the direct calculation and the calculation using bosonization, the results were not matching, is because you have a violation of certain conservation laws in the bosonization debosonization procedure. And so basically the question now is, okay, so we have gotten to the heart of the paradox, so what is the resolution of this paradox? And but so this is like what you want is basically a new consistent formalism, because here we are getting inconsistencies clearly. So we want a new consistent formalism in which these non-conserving terms are not going to be generated. That's what you want. Okay, so that's the form in which the resolution should come. Be generated when you do the Feynman-Dyson perturbation theory in terms of the new fermions. So then that formalism will be the consistent formalism. Okay, and that's what that's where the name comes from, and it will be consistent within the bosonization debosonization process and consistent with the direct calculation. So how do we do that? And this is really the key idea, how we are going to resolve this paradox. So the key idea is that when you are actually doing the bosonization and then changing the basis to the physical basis, you are going to get these kinds of vertex operators. And when you look at this vertex operator, so this is plus, minus, minus, plus, and this is charge and spin. And this is exactly the degrees that were not showing up. And in fact, some people will argue that's why this physical basis was useful, because what you were left were only the lead and the spin lead fermions, because physically you would expect that your electron, if it's going from left lead to right, the charge, which is the total charge, is not changing, and the, since it's a spin is not changing either, the spin should not show up also, and that's why you were getting only the lead and the spin lead fermions, and these were totally not showing up in your new fermion language, the charge and the spin. But in fact, when you were doing this change of basis, you were going to land up with these terms, okay, and what we are saying is that these terms that were there when you did the change of basis, we should actually be careful and we should keep them, and we are going to call them, let's call them entry rule. Okay, and plus minus for depending upon whether you take plus and minus here, and this one minus when you have minus first and plus. And so you are going to have this entry rule, plus minus, charge and spin. Okay, and so what is done, this usually, like in the standard or the conventional bosonization, these kinds of products of boson exponentials that you have are they are just taken equal to one. So that's what is done in the conventional bosonization. So our idea is we are going to keep them. We are going to call them entry rule, and replacing these everywhere equal to one will give back the conventional bosonization results. Okay, and which we have shown are giving wrong results. It's not giving us conservation of spin and things like that. Okay, so we are going to keep this, okay? And then when you keep this, and now you look at your tunneling term in the Hamiltonian for this simple tunnel junction, what you find is now, so if you put this equal to 1 is what you would get from the conventional bosonization. So now you have this. So you see that there's a charge, entropy charge plus, that is appearing in all four terms. And then there is this entropy S, which is appearing as plus here, and minus here. Okay? Yeah.
Should I interpret this as being exact, or are there other approximations made in this PDB procedure that
No, so there are no so the conventional bosonization and debosonization process also, the conventional wisdom is that you're not making any approximations. It's exact.
Replacing an operator by ones.
Well, this is what is done all the time, and that is, no one calls it any approximation. This is how it is done. It's put all these exponentials, because it's plus and minus. In all the conventional bosonization procedure, you just put that equal to 1, and that's something that no one even comments on. It's not like it's an approximation. Okay, approximation is better than, like, not even, if you at least call it an approximation and explain why is it so, it's a different story. What is usually done is it's just put equal to 1. And it's not treated as an approximation in any way. Okay, so.
So that's more like anthropological. People don't call it an approximation, but
No.
Are there other actual approximations that are made?
Yeah, they don't call it, no, they don't even think of it as an approximation.
Yes,
so it's not about calling. So the point is, no, so this is, so we are going to show that by taking care of this, what we are going to show is that this actually resolves the paradox. So if that's the question.
But I'm wondering if, you know, there's a different paradox in a different experiment.
No, so we did not see anything that looks like anywhere where anything like this was done besides this, putting this equal to 1. And like, you probably will be the, actually you're kind of appreciating already our framework by saying this is an approximation, because most people don't call it. So once you accept that this is actually not something you should be doing, then you are basically going to accept that there is another, okay, I don't know what happened here. And the organizer is not here. Good, call it an approximation. That's what we want you to do. We want you to call it an approximation. That's the point, that we are saying you cannot just put it equal to 1. That's actually an approximation, or actually it will become clear what exactly is it. Okay? So in fact, that might be completely fine and based on our interpretation for certain cases.
Did you hit a button or something, or just did it just happen by itself?
I don't believe I hit anything, but oh, is there screen?
Yes, there's screen blanking.
Okay, all right, but so basically this is what you will get. Okay, so let's keep it and let's discuss later whether or not what should we call it. Okay, so we are going to keep it. And since I'm not throwing it, I don't have the burden to explain. I'm actually fixing it. So basically this, I'm keeping this entwiddles. And then what you see is, once you keep this, you find that actually, so there are certain, I mean, there are some finer details which, because we want to also, Carlos is going to talk about the application, I want to kind of not get into it, and we also started a bit late. So so what you can show, this, these are kind of, you can think of them as single site fermionic lattice densities, these entwiddles. So these were this terms like that, and in fact they are like going to look like some kind of densities. And if I have time, I'll go into more details, but if you just accept that this can be thought as some single-site fermionic lattice densities, and if you take this, then you know that these are going to have properties like this. So it's going to have this idempotence property, square is equal to this, n square is n, and conilpotence, so the product of plus minus and minus plus is zero. And this is just coming from treating them as single site fermion lattice densities. So this is at the junction point where the junction is. And so basically, if you use these properties, you keep them, and now you look at this vertex. So now when you're writing the vertex, you have to put these n twiddles wherever they should go, based on those n twiddles that were here now. So when you're writing these things, you are going to have this extra n twiddles. And so when you have these n twiddles, you can see now, here I'm not putting nc plus, because it's there everywhere, so you can imagine it's there. I'm just not writing it because nc plus is there in all of those diagrams because you always had nc plus. And so now, but ns was sometimes coming as plus and sometimes coming as minus. And so here you have n twiddle plus, plus, plus. And this is the diagram which was actually the diagram that was coming from when you were doing the translation and was perfectly fine a diagram, okay? And so this, by using this property, you see that this diagram survives and there's no problem with it. But then you see that these other diagrams, you have plus, minus, plus, minus, plus, minus, all these plus, minuses that are appearing, you're going to have, because of this property, that actually this all three diagrams now that we're giving you after back translation, all this non-causing, crazy things, really making the bosonization, debosonization sound like some alchemy, where something went wrong. It's going to now not be there once you have these factors, entropy factors. So basically, this diagrams now disappear, and so we have achieved what we wanted, is that for a consistent formalism, this diagram should not appear, and this n twiddles, by keeping this, we are able to get that. And so, so of course, like I was just saying, that treat them like lattice, single site fermion lattice densities, and I'm calling this n twiddle, but this is actually, this n, so there are some finer details, and we can, whoever is interested can talk, we can talk about all those finer details later, but just to kind of comment on a few of these points. So first of all, one has to realize that these two need to be consistent, and that one can see that by looking at the operator product expansion, and that it is actually an expansion of density fluctuations. So when you go from here to here, basically you can show this using systematically using OP, and usually when one is setting up the bosonization debosonization procedure, what you are actually doing is you are usually concerned with the particle hole symmetric starting point in the bosonization language. And so that's kind of going to answer what you were asking about, whether it's an approximation, whether to call it an approximation or not. So if your starting point is a particle hole symmetric starting point, that's basically the standard thing that is done and in the bosonization. And so that's basically going to amount to having this n sigma l is equal to half. And what we find is that for the junction, what we are doing, like keeping these entwiddles, actually the way one can understand is that if you have a transport of charge and you're looking at the situation where you're not really near half filling, you're having charge going from between 0 and 1, fluctuating on the junction side. Your usual premise of bosonizing around the half filling does not really work. And in fact, and you can try to define your bosonization around away from this half filling limit to be able to address these kinds of questions. And so in some sense, this consistent bosonization is an expanded formalism, and conventional bosonization is a special limit of it when entropies are equal to 1, and that would be like doing a calculation where physically it would be okay to be like at half filling. Okay, and so so to set up the bosonization in such a way that you are not at half filling, it's what you do is you this is getting a bit more technical, but it's like change you are shifting the bosons. It's like you are introducing a soliton, and so this is like also you can think of it as equivalent to changing using different boundary conditions now when you're N is actually fluctuating between 0 and 1, so it's not at all close to half filling. So when you have this kind of situation where your N is fluctuating, then to do the bosonization, debosonization procedure consistently, what you have to do is you have to shift the bosons, and in the fermionic language, what that amounts to is considering different boundary conditions. And so instead of the usual particle hole symmetric case, what you need here is that is like a periodic boundary condition, and what you need is antiperiodic boundary condition, and this is kind of akin to these discussions of Lick and Ludwig. They use this for the in their boundary conformal field theory, and these are also called as strong coupling boundary conditions. Okay, so in some sense, this kind of can be understood in terms of, so it's something very similar to what is done somewhere else also. If we interpret it like this, this shift of bosons in the fermionic language are like changing the boundary conditions. So this is kind of just trying to explain a little bit what is this, but anyone who's interested, we can go over the details later. And so what you get is that, and when you do all this, keep track of all these things, you have some non-intuitive numerical factors that you need to introduce, like here. And in fact, so if you go from, you start from your original fermion densities, and you go to write it in terms of bosons, and then change the basis, this looks like this. And this is perfectly fine, and this is what you usually have in bosonization, debosonization. And this is fine, this works when 2n sigma l is 1, which is like you are near half filling. But in fact, we are not at half filling for this problem physically. And so what you need here is n equal to, so the 0 case works anywhere. So n equal to 0 is not a problem. What you need to have now in your procedure is to be able to treat, like you want to be able to do bosonization when n is actually also, I think it's the screensaver here. I need to turn that off. and so so this is basically what you get, what you need to have really when you're doing, for this to work, you need to have this factor of half for this to work at n sigma l equal to 1. And how you can understand all this in terms of boundary conditions and solitons and shifting bosonic fields and all these technical details are there in the paper, and we can also discuss later. And so now, once you use this consistent bosonization, debosonization formalism and this framework that we have introduced, then obviously now, as you saw also from this perturbative thing, that those diagrams were not going to be there anymore, and indeed your calculations actually work perfectly fine, and as expected now we have this with this consistent bosonization, debosonization, we do find that the results are exactly the same as the direct calculation that we had. And so we have basically resolved the paradox, and we have shown, we have brought back by some reworking of the bosonization, debosonization, we have brought back consistency into the process, and you can find the details here. So this is, I'm calling it interim conclusions, because Aldous is going to talk about application of this problem to the non-equilibrium Kondo problem, which is a notorious problem, as everyone knows, is kind of the prototype of strong correlations problem in non-equilibrium, and we are going to apply this to that case. Okay, and so the junction problem was simple, and we just kind of, and the whole idea was to use that as a way to see whether bosonization is doing what it should be doing, this whole process, and that's how we found this. And it's much subtler than it was appreciated, and but we do give a general recipe how to proceed. And there are many possible ramifications, and one of the case, which is this non-equilibrium corner problem, Carlos is going to talk about. So I'm going to just pass on to him.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So I guess for some screen models, you can also do this, and for, I guess, XXZ model, mm-hmm. if you have sparkle hole symmetry, I mean, basically, if you don't have a magnetic field, it would be exactly at half Q, right? But if you have a magnetic field, then in principle, you don't have the symmetry. So you think you would have the same problem.
Yeah, so actually, you have to look case by case, but there is some chance. So in fact, yeah, so this is, I cannot tell right away, one will have to ask what is it that you're trying to look at, but whenever you are, this is, so far what we have done is for one site, like, you know, where there is something happening locally, like a junction or non-equilibrium corner model. So this requires generalization to more general cases, but we can discuss later. Okay. So I think I'll just pass this.